Concerning the types of soil that we find. When I was thinking about this, I just imagined the Lord there on the multitudes when He was getting ready to speak to the multitudes, and His disciples were there, and He was about to preach the Sermon on the Mount. I take that particular message that He was getting ready to preach. I think about how that through the Gospels that He would say, sometimes I know what's in man. I know what man, I know why they're following me. Some of them came because they wanted to see the miracles. Others came because He fed them with the five loaves and the fishes. And the point that I'm trying to make from those different scenarios is the Lord knew what was in man's heart. And when He said that, and He begins to tell this parable about the soil of the heart, the Lord knew all the different types of hearts. Now it is the pastor of this church's hope and want to that every person would fall into the category that we will read tonight. Now I do know that the cares of this world and the riches and deceit, I do know that the hardness of man's heart is out there. Every one of these hearts, personally, every preacher has seen in the congregation. By their reaction or their attitude or what they come and go and somebody grabs something, then you never see them again. Yeah, all of the hearts that the Lord knew. But you want the heart tonight to be good soil. Amen. You want people to be ready and able and listen and to take the Word of God and to hide it in their heart. And then just not receive it into their heart, but actually do what it says. So tonight I want to read the whole parable. We've been kind of just reading the different verses, and we're going to use the one in the book of Mark tonight, and we're going to begin reading the whole parable, and then I'm going to give you a snapshot of those first three that we've already looked at, and then we'll move into the good heart or the good soil. And He began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So the Lord, once again, using what He had there, and He sees the people, and He knows what's in their heart. And He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them, in His doctrine. This is His teaching, because He knows what's in man. And then He says this, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And then notice in verse number 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Look at verse number 13. And He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. So the sower is the preaching of the word of God, or the reading of the Word of God, or the presentation of the Word of God, or Jesus speaking the Word of God, or the Word of God, the Word of God. All right? So the sower sows the Word. And these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure, but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and this is what we looked at last week, and this is so true of many people. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. But in verse number 20 is where we all want to be tonight. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. Notice this. They hear the word of God. They receive the word of God and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So just imagine with me as the Lord looks among the crowd as He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, the parables that He speaks, the miracles that He does, the words that He said. Some people listened, some people didn't. Some people, the cares of this world, some people's hearts were hard, and He mentioned that. We could understand the Pharisees would not listen. Even after Jesus Christ authenticated His ministry by raising the dead and causing the blind to see, and the miracles were right before their very eyes, and He sowed the Word of God, and it just bounced off of them because of their religiosity. How's that? And what they thought, that it was being zealous for God. Folks, you can go to a church service, but it doesn't mean anything good will happen in your heart unless you have prepared soil ready to hear the Word of God. And that's hard to do if you stay up all night playing video games, then try to come to church to hear the Word of God. We got to prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God. God help us tonight in this very simple parable, that we would be a people tonight that is ready to read the Word of God, hear the preaching of the Word of God. But Lord, not just reading and hearing the messages from God, but allowing it to enter into the soil of our heart and allowing us to go deep into our soul and then be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. And Lord, we got to understand it takes a long time to raise a crop, a long time to raise disciples, a long time for us to be the child of God that You would have us to be. And that is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, continuing to do the will of God. But Lord, it all begins tonight, according to Your parable, with the heart and the preparation of the heart and the heart being ready to receive the Word of God. And Lord, I admit tonight, I admit that there are times when we don't receive the Word of God because of the cares of the world, or because our heart is hard, or because of some other reason. And we know that in salvation that is a serious matter. But even on a night, on a weekly basis, from Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday night, if our hearts are not ready to hear the Word of God, it won't do us any good. Help us tonight, Lord, to get a hold of Your truth. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I think it's been very clear over the last four messages of the parable that we're looking at. In some of these parables, you have to preach several messages because it's broken down into parts, and we've done that. And we've been looking at the four different types of hearts, and God calls it soil. And so you can see the metaphor or the illustration that Jesus Christ uses in nature all the time. He uses things that everybody can understand. Paul did that. Jesus did that. Jesus was the master teacher. Not only was He the master teacher, He was the master preacher. Not only was He the master preacher and teacher, He knew what was inside of man. Even when He began to say the hard things, there would be many people that would walk away. Why? Their hearts were not fully ready to receive the Word of God. Probably in your Bible reading, you may have read this very thing over the last several days where Jesus Christ said some hard things in the book of John, and they walked away from Him. And Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "Will you go too?" And they said, and Peter being the spokesman that he was many times, "Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life." Can I say to you tonight, that should be our attitude tonight. Where else are we going to go? Who else are we going to turn to? There's nobody else to go to. Jesus has the answers. Jesus is the way. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one that we trust tonight. We don't understand everything, but we certainly can trust Him. So in this parable, these four messages concerning the types of soil that the seed is allowed or tries to enter into, And I'm telling you, I grew up on a semi-farm. I didn't grow up on a farm where you have many acres of soybeans or many acres of corn or many acres of wheat. But everybody knows my story by now, if you've been here very long, about my dad and his love for the major garden that he had. And so I watched him every year disc that ground. I watched him every year till that ground. I watched him every year put those railroad ties on the on it to make the soil exactly what it needed to be. It had to be broken up. It was hard from the winter. It was hard because me and my brother had ridden a go-kart around it about 3 million times every summer around that, and then so by the end of the year it was hard pan, and my dad would till it up again, and we would do the same thing. And and wherever he lived, he had a gigantic garden. And I understand when you put two corn, one step. I'll tell you, I'll probably, that'll be in my mind for the rest of my life what my dad said. Two corn, one step. Two corn, one step. But you know what happened every once in a while? That corn would bounce off. You think we would go back and put that two? No, we're like, no. You know how many acres we had to do? We had to just keep going. And I knew that corn laying on top of that ground was going to be scorched. It had to have the right kind of soil. Listen, I don't want to talk tonight so much about the cares of this world. I don't want to talk so much tonight about the hard pan soil. I want to talk tonight, as Jesus said in verse 20, those that are they which are sown on good ground. They hear the Word of God. They receive the Word of God. Can I go on to say what James would say? They do the Word of God. So every time we come together in a church setting, every time we come together in a church setting, we will have different types of heart in any given service. But this is the type of heart that we want in every service. In fact, it'd be good if every heart was like this. But Jesus told us that there would be different kinds of hearts that are sitting in church. And I'm telling you, you can see it sometimes in the disinterest of people. Or you can wonder, why did they come to church? Well, let me ask you this. Why did you come to church? Was it because your parents made you come to church? Was it because you didn't have anything else to do? No, you need to come to church with a heart prepared to hear what God says. So we're looking at the type of heart. We're looking at the soil, and that's the type of heart and how that the seed is received. Now, here's what we do know very clearly. The seed is the Word of God. And every morning when you get up, you're planting seed when you read it. Now, sometimes you'll get over there in the book of Ezekiel, and there'll be them eyes and them wheels and then upside eye down eyeball wheels and all that kind of stuff. And you may go, whoa, what is this all about? Just keep reading. Just keep reading. Read what you do understand and what you don't understand. Just keep reading, because you'll understand enough that you need to have the Word of God in your heart. Every pastor I know realizes that only the heart that is tender and only the heart that is broken is the seed that it can enter in and accomplish His purpose. There is no seed, there is no heart that has pride that is going to be able to receive the Word of God correctly. Revivals come about in our heart by a contrite spirit, by a broken spirit, by a broken heart. And God knows how to do that. And it's easier to receive the seed when the soil is very soft, and the soil is broken up, and the soil can be run through your fingers. Again, some of the best soil I've ever seen in my life was the black soil of North Dakota. I would have never thought that. But the black soil of North Dakota is where most of our potatoes come from. And it's just like sifting. It's just like so fine. And if you're gonna make a garden, you want fine black soil that is rich and that is broken and that is ready to receive the seed. Seeds will come right up out of it. And we've already looked at, like from the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, the seed goes in type of the good soil and it dies. And then it can bring forth. If seed hits the ground on the hard pan, lays on the top, there's no way it can ever germinate because there's nothing for it to die. It'll wither away. And so let me just do this real quick. The first type of soil, the wayside soil, is a hard heart. No seed can get into a hard pan ground. It just bounces off the soil, and the Bible says the birds will come and devour the seed. It's like me. I've become a bird watcher, a bird feeder. And I've noticed that there's some birds that feed off the ground. There's some birds that fly in, they eat the seed. I found out that there's certain kinds of seed that certain kind of birds that can eat. But I've also found that there's some birds that whatever falls on the ground, they come by and eat it. Now, I'm not trying to grow anything. I'm trying to feed the birds. But the point is if seed is sown, and we know that Jesus had in mind the sower, sowing the seed like this, just throwing the seed down. And it's the same idea maybe when we do grass seed. That sometimes we do that. We'll get the soil ready, put the grass seed on it, put the hay on top of it, and then shoot the birds and the cats and all that kind of stuff to keep them off of the seed. Now look at me like that. But that's seed cannot. Satan comes and takes away immediately anything that was preached. Second soil is the stony soil or the shallow soil. Many Christians are very shallow. Emotions can enter in and show little growth. Listen, I'm a little concerned about people who are more concerned about the singing than they are the preaching. They're more concerned about some emotion than they are of hearing what God has to say from the Word of God. And I'm telling you, emotions can enter in, show little growth, no doctrine. Listen, we need doctrine. We need teaching. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. Because if you don't, you're going to be swept away. There should nobody be able to, after 10 years or 5 years or 4 years or whatever, preaching and discipleship, people should know what they believe, why they believe it. And so we need to, there's nothing wrong with emotions, but emotions cannot control us when it comes to God's Word. Amen. Too shallow. Adversity comes. They're gone. Third kind of soil, we looked at that last week. I called it corrupt soil, thorny soil, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, crowds out the Word, and it cannot grow. My friend, you cannot have the world. You cannot come to church and be thinking everything else about what's going on and expect the cares of this world will overtake the Word of God. It's sad when you go home, you go, what'd you think about the message? What was the message? Well, didn't you hear what was said? Well, no, I was thinking about what I was going to do tomorrow, or I was thinking about what I was going to do first. That's the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. We use the word weeds to describe this type of soil. It's filled with weeds. And weeds can grow through anything. And they will. They'll grow through anything. Now, finally, I know, it took me a minute to get here. But folks, fertile soil is what we're looking for. Fertile soil. The soil unlike the other soil. The soil that is able to produce the fruit. This type of heart, this soft heart, this pliable heart, can produce in some cases up to 100-fold. Do you see that? Some can up to 100-fold. If we could get our church completely filled with these type of hearts, we would accomplish the purpose of God. We would do great exploits for God. The problem is that there are other three types of soil. We understand that. But I do believe it is possible for the majority or many or much people to have the right kind of heart. And you know, you think about this. Well, we're here on a Wednesday night. Usually Wednesday night means I want to hear what God has to say. Sometimes Sunday morning only, you know, it's like, well, I did my duty for the week. But by the way, Sunday, all day is the Lord's day. Amen. The whole day. Wednesday night, that's a cherry on the top. That is the oasis in the desert from what's been going on all week and the cares of this world. I'm telling you, there's nothing like church. There's nothing like church. So let me just give you some condition. I got about eight things. You think Brother James Moeller's the only one got 8 points? I can do 8 point message too, brother. Actually, I think it's only seven. I should have came up with eight. But here's the condition of this soil. Now, this is based on what we read here, but it's also based in other passages of Scripture in the book of Matthew and such, and we might look at those. But here's the condition of the soil that's good. It's soft. Everybody with me? Soft hearts. Good hearts. Broken hearts. Now, no rocks, no weeds. That's the kind of ground that can produce a crop. Now, today there's people that do these box gardens. And they call them raised gardens. And I think they might be for old people so you don't have to get down on your knees. You can just walk along if you had to build it high enough. But do you know if you have a garden like that, if you put bad soil in there, that's your fault. Now, if you do it out of the ground, you got to deal with what the ground gives you. And Missouri can have some rocky ground and stuff of that. But if you have a raised garden, you have the ability to put the right kind of soil in there with the right kind of mixture. And I'm telling you, but don't worry, even in good soil, there's the possibility of weeds, but not as much as a possibility. A person with this heart, this soft heart, this broken heart, this good heart, this no rock, no weed kind of heart, is able to hear very clearly what God wants him to do. He doesn't argue with God. He's more concerned about spiritual matters than he is about worldly matters. When your heart is broken, it can better hear what God has to say. Now, I've been saved since I was 24 years old. I'm 61. And I'm telling you, there's times in your life where you're broken. Your times in your life, God is doing something that is real. And you're able to more hear God sometimes than when you're consumed by the cares of this world. And for some odd reason, you think, hey, everything is good. This is where I'm at. Blah, blah, blah. God has a way of saying, I'm in control. You're not in control. And that's when we're going to have to decide if I want my heart to be right with God. And you know what? Listen, Lester Roloff used to say this. I used to hear him preach. When we get in trials and troubles and tribulations, there's a couple of things that can happen. He said we can get bitter or we can get better. The bitter heart is the one that's concerned about the cares of the world more than what God is trying to do in his heart. But the soft heart and the pliable heart and the heart that is turned toward God will be better. Will be better. You don't make gold unless you get through a heart furnace of fire and it's poured out. Amen? You have to get all the dross off. And a person with this heart is able to hear God. When your heart is broken, there's no rocks or weeds. A heart is not hardened by the things of the world. A heart that can hear what God has to say. When a heart is not encumbered by the pursuit of riches or material gain more than they are at the things of God, they're ready to hear what God has to say. And my friend, God says a lot through His Word. He has a lot to say. He has a lot to say. Blessed are they that mourn. I'm just telling you, I am so convinced that Jesus had in mind the Sermon on the Mount when He began to understand the hearts, and He looked out there and began to talk about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Hey, listen, you have to have a heart that's right with God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let me make an application. They can see clearly the things of God. They can hear what God has to say. If we're all consumed with ourselves, it's hard to hear what God has to say. So it is a heart. So let me tell you this. It's a prepared heart. I do believe this. We must prepare our hearts. to hear what God says. Even in the morning when we sit down to read our Bible or to spend time in prayer. Sometimes I'll just say, Lord, I need a psalm today. I need a psalm today, Lord. And He'll say, all right, start here and just keep reading till I give you what you need. And I guarantee you in the Psalms, He'll give you what you need. There's so much there. But you know what? You have to prepare your heart. That's why He said in verse 20, such as hear the word and receive it. Such as hear the word and receive it. If your heart is correct, then you come to the preaching service. It means that you are prepared to hear what God says. And by the way, if you preach the Bible, God has something to say. And what is He trying to say to us tonight? Make sure that our heart is ready to receive the Word of God. Make sure we're ready to... make sure that the cares of this world are not choking out what God would say. You know, when we say receive, that means accept. When you receive the Word of God, the idea is that, Lord, I accept the Word of God. Now, let's go back to when Jesus Christ said hard things. Some of the people were not willing to accept what Jesus Christ had to say. See, everything is good and rosy as long as everything is good and rosy. But when it's not, if we're not careful, our heart can grow hard. And when it should be the very opposite, and that is to grow soft. So our heart has to be prepared. The ground cannot accept the seed if the ground is not prepared. The hard ground was not prepared at all, so the seed didn't penetrate the surface. The stony ground could not adequately be prepared because it was too shallow. No plow blade could dig deep enough to prepare the soil adequately. The thorny ground was not prepared because it was full of weeds. But the good ground was plowed and pure and ready to receive. Now, am I telling you that every time I've come to church, my heart's always been ready to receive? The answer is no. I've said this to my wife. Of course, she gets on to me because she's, you know, she does that better than anybody for me. I'll say sometimes, man, sometimes it's hard to preach. Sometimes it seems like you're ready to preach, and sometimes it may seem like it's harder to preach. But then after I get down and pray, I'm thinking, well, that's not God's fault. That's my fault. Because maybe my heart is not where it needs to be in the preaching of the Word of ground, of the Word of God. Have you ever seen a farmer prepare a plant to plant a crop? He plows the ground. Now, I know I've said this before. He uses a disc. He sprays weed killer. He makes sure that the rocks are out of there. I mean, and you can do that in several ways that you try to do that. You try to get through all of that. And then he adds the nutrients like the ammonia and different things. You know what he's doing? He's preparing the soil so that when he puts it in the ground, that in 6 months or whatever it might be, it's going to produce a crop. Now here's what, let me give you this. What does that mean for us? Well, here's what it means. That means setting aside time for church. Maybe I didn't say, maybe y'all couldn't hear what I said. That means setting aside time to read my Bible. That means setting aside time to pray. That means adjusting my schedule to prepare my heart. Because I know what my heart is like. The heart is deceitful and wicked. And so it has to be prepared to hear the Word of God. Ezra, the spiritual leader after the captivity, gives us an example of spiritual preparation in Ezra 7 when he said, where it says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Did you hear that? He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Go over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. You only got to go back one. Sometimes we don't do a lot of jumping around. But in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse number 23. But here's a little bit deep, a little bit more depth to what Matthew said. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, is the same parable, a little bit Mark's just a little bit shorter with it. The good ground is he that heareth the word, and look at this, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So his heart is prudent in the sense that you have to act upon what you hear. Well, preacher, I was okay until you preached on whatever it might be. Fill in the blank. Now, I'm good with church doctrine. I'm good with the Bible. I'm good with a lot of things, but be careful. Don't get too close to where my sin is. Everybody with me tonight? And by the way, if you read through the Bible somewhere along the line, the hammer is going to come down on you. And we've got to decide, am I going to let that in my heart or not? You got to act upon what you hear. If you don't take the Word of God into your heart and do it, then it'll do you no good. Not only does, and that's prudent, all right? So not only does the prudent heart hear, but he's also willing to act upon the Word. The problem on the first three types of soil, the heart never acted fully what the Word of God said, because there was other things that were involved, whether it was hard pan, cares of the world, coming emotions, blah, blah, whatever it might be. Listen to this. Our heart needs to be perceptive. What do I mean by that? Again, Matthew 13:23. Heareth the word and understandeth it. You know what Psalm 119, by the way, is the Word of God chapter in the Bible. And the verse number 18 of Psalm 119 says, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Very simple prayer that you can pray every morning before you read your Bible. Lord, help me. Now, everybody's got the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of them if they're saved by the grace of God. You don't need anything else but a Bible and the Holy Spirit of God, and read and have your heart right. God will speak to you. And He does it every day. If you don't understand the Bible, eventually it'll hinder you. So what do we do about it? Well, here's what Paul told Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Cut the board straight is the idea of rightly dividing the word of truth. Cut the board straight. The two men on the road to Emmaus, the Lord came down and met with them. He just showed up. I love that story in Luke chapter 24. Okay, let's go to it. We won't preach it, but just go to it. Luke chapter 24. The resurrection has taken place. Verse number 13, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Luke 24:13. Verse 14, they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Remember, Sunday we preached about the nature of the resurrection, the glorified body. There is no, you can just be there. It's like better than Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. That's a glorified body without the beaming up. If Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem during the millennial reign and I'm at Rivercut Golf Course or Pebble Beach, probably be at Rivercut, and He says, come here, son, we're right there. That is awesome. No limitations to time, space. We're just there. That's what Jesus did. These two guys, they're walking down the road. They're talking about what's just taken place. They're talking about the crucifixion. They're talking about there's been some eyewitnesses that said the Lord has risen from the dead. And all of a sudden, Jesus is walking by them. Oh, this is so good. I lost my place. Verse number 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. He's in the glorified state. And He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said, what things? And they said unto him, Jesus, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. He was mighty indeed and word before God. And all the people and the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we thought, or we trusted, it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early up the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. This is good, people. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said Jesus unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Now listen to this. Jesus gave them expository Bible preaching on the road to Emmaus. Here's what it says. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He what? Expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the sayings concerning Himself. I'm telling you, He went from the law to the prophets. He did Isaiah 53. No doubt. I mean, I'm just telling you, they were getting a sermon about everything in the Bible. Listen, if you remember our Sunday school lesson from Sunday, it was said that when Paul went to Arabia and was there and met with the Lord, according to Galatians, it was very likely, and I believe it was very likely, all of the Old Testament Scriptures, he is now putting Jesus Christ in those verses. Because he now knows he's the Messiah. He knows that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And listen, nobody knew Scriptures better than Paul. Nobody. And that's what Jesus did here. So why would not Jesus do that with Saul, who became Paul? And they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, and he made us as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent, and he went and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Look at this. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Glorified body! He had to go somewhere else. And this is what I love. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us, look at this, the Scriptures. You think these men were ready to hear what God had to say? I do believe they were. I believe their hearts were perceptive. Cut the board straight. You know what our hearts? Look at Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke chapter 8. Another passage about this that's going to give us a little bit more insight about this heart. Luke chapter 8. We'll go down to verse number 15. But that on the good ground. Ground are they which is an honest and good heart. Did everybody say that? That's the way that Luke said it. But on that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it. They kept it. Listen, did you get that? So this parable tells us the good heart, the honest heart, accepts the word of God, hears the word of God, receives the word of God, and keeps the Word of God. That's a pure heart. While the thorny heart is full of weeds, and the corrupt ground gives us a picture of a pure heart, this gives us a picture of a pure heart. You will not bear much fruit if your heart is just not right with God. It's just going to be hard. By the way, can I say this? Holiness is not an option if you want to prosper spiritually. It's just not going to happen. You cannot live the way the world lives and experience spiritual growth. Instead, you'll become corrupt. Again, Luke chapter 8, verse 15. They which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. The word keep means to hold fast. Keeping the word separates, let me say it like this, separates the men from the boys. It's one of the great differences in contrast to the other soils. Bottom line is the other soils are not really good and honest. There's too many other things there to keep them. The hard heart never took hold of the word, let alone keep it. The shallow heart did not keep it long enough, and the corrupt heart couldn't get in. But the good and honest heart, the good ground, keeps it continuously. You know what Jesus said? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Paul said in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, look at this, without wavering. It's easier to not waver when things are going good, or as we think they should. But when we really are not to waver is when things are tough. Keep means being persistent, to keep on keeping on no matter what. You know God is good all the time. This kind of heart you find when the church doors are open, they're like, I want to be there if there's preaching, instead of, I want to be there if there's eating. I don't want to miss no food. We shouldn't say, I don't want to miss no food. And by the way, as soon as you miss something, that'll be the one probably message or time or that you needed that message. Fruit bearing always requires patience. You've got to put that seed in the good soil, and then you have to wait. But you just keep going, growing. Growing seed to fruit requires patience. Sometimes, listen, now we're talking about disciples, that takes years. Now, every year we should evaluate where we're at. Am I more spiritual now? Am I closer to the Lord? Am I doing more what God says now than I was a year ago? Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, the good heart will produce fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Seed planted in good heart will always produce fruit. You know what I love about Berean Baptist Church? People who've been here for 30, 40, 50 years, still growing in the grace and knowledge of our life. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can write it down, put it in your Bible. Our life will bear out how we receive God's Word. Our life will bear out how we receive God's Word. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Lord, help us tonight to have soft, pliable hearts that can receive the Word of God. And Lord, You gave this parable to Your disciples that they, and we know, Lord, they would go on and they would not understand sometimes about the crucifixion and the resurrection. But after the resurrection, they understand so many things. They were willing to take the Word of God and place it in their heart and produce fruit. And Lord, help us to produce fruit. But we won't produce fruit unless our hearts are ready to receive the Word of God, that the soil is soft. Lord, help us to have that broken spirit that is very opposite of the prideful spirit. Help us to be humble. Help our hearts to be pure and honest and ready to receive the Word of God. Help us, Lord, that when we get ready to read our Bible, our hearts would be prepared to receive the seed, not thinking of other things. Coming into the church and sitting down and singing and readying our hearts to hear the Word of God and then prepare ourselves for what You have to say. God, help us, not only tonight, but in the morning when we read our Bible, when we go to the prayer closet, when we come back and we're here for Sunday school and the teaching is on Paul's life and his discipleship and the church and all of these kind of things. And then the preaching on the resurrection and the different aspects and the order of the resurrection and the implications of the resurrection and the order of the resurrection. God, help us to receive those things, understanding that this body is not the end. But our glorified body will be like the Lord when He went to the road to Emmaus and met with these. Lord, help us to accept that. Help us to put that in our hearts tonight, oh God. I pray, help us to have hearts willing to receive the precious, inerrant, infallible Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 500.